Yeah! NBA Straya! It's NBA Straya. Welcome back to NBA Straya. This is NBA Straya, episode 4, Tuesday, November 21. I'm James Clements. I'm the host of NBA Straya, your daily breakdown of all things NBA and all the associated goodness of it therein. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie the Brooklyn Game, one half of the Drone Guys NBA podcast, and I'm here to take you through our daily breakdown of the hottest of NBA storylines, who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. We're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk, and we'll be covering off what the Australian NBA players are up to. And today we have some fun, dumb segments like the Toby Flenderson tribute of Joe Ingles, HR manager. We've got the award-winning Yeah Nah. We've got Look at Me, the unpopular opinion of the day. And finally, the debut of the Chris Anstey skinny dude doing work of the week. But that's all good. Anyway, we've got a bunch of other stuff. So let's get cracking. It's NBA Straya. Let's go! All right. Y'all ready for this? It is the daily whip around. There was a lot of basketball last night, which is very, very fun. So this is where we catch up on all things NBA in the daily whip around. And we're going to break down what happened last night. And there was a lot. Minnesota lose to Charlotte in an absolute heartbreaker. This is, they were really not quite in at the second half. And this was a massive stinker. Just think about the relative positions of the Charlotte Hornets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The T-Wolves, 10-7, but they've suddenly lost two in a row out of nowhere. And Charlotte were just like stinking up the joint. And now they've won two in a row, beating Orlando and now Minnesota. What the hell is going on? Like, early season NBA is brutal. The T-Wolves lost to the Pistons and then the Hornets. This is gross. Come on, Minnesota. What are you doing? Dwight Howard had 25 and 20 in this game, but what do we say? Fuck Dwight Howard. All right, Cavs and Pistons in Detroit. The Cavs laid the Pistons out. LeBron barely had to play in this. He had 18 points in something like 27 minutes. It was the Cavs' easiest win of the year. They jumped out and then sort of coasted all the way, which is one of those sort of wins that the Cavs need weekly and probably twice weekly just to get everybody off their back and just like, hey, man, leave me alone, man. That way we'll just stop talking about the Cavs, because when they lose shit games, we talk about them. And when they quietly just beat the shit out of teams like the Pistons by 28 points, we go, oh, yeah, cool. That's what they should be doing. The Pacers played the Magic. The Pacers beat the Magic. Yawn. 105-97. Victor Oladipo went off, though. He had 29-9-5 in the matchup that no one gave a fuck about. The Jazz. This was the Australian-on-Australian violence of last night. The Jazz played Philly in Philadelphia, and it turned into a bit of a laugher. The Jazz on their on this road trip, it's going very weirdly. It's up and down. They're missing Rudy Gobert. Ricky Rubio's been in and out. Their last bunch of games, they like lost to the T-Wolves, lost to the Knicks, lost to the Nets, then beat the Magic, and then lost to the Sixers. It's a very, very, very weird road trip. But that's how it goes. The Jazz lost to Philly, 107-86. Jingling Joe Ingles versus our Lord and Savior Ben Simmons was like a fairly interesting part of it. We're going to talk way more about Ben Simmons later, but obviously, and same with Jingling Joe. But the big story of this was Embiid out there becoming basically Philly's most favored son since probably Donovan McNabb and probably Rocky before that. Weirdly enough, though, he did get into it with Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz rookie last night, who is legally, I believe, one-third of a Joel Embiid. That's the actual empirical measurement of a Donovan Mitchell. He's one third of a Joel Embiid. Shoved him over and got a tech. Kind of tried to start a fight. Embiid was having none of it because he's like, wait a minute, you're one third of me? I don't fuck with that. Embiid contented himself with firing up the Philly crowd, and it was pretty awesome. And man, watching Embiid and Simmons night in, night out is one of the NBA's absolute fucking treats at the moment. Next up, just up the road in New York City, where we are right now, looking at a bunch of Russian dudes building a penthouse on top of the brownstone across the road from us outside of Larry Armour Studios here in New York City. The New York Knickerbockers of New York City laid the ninth straight L on the Clips. 107-85, the Knicks beat the Clips. The Latvian gangbanger came to play again, finally, though. He is one of just the best things to watch in the NBA. He is a supercharged Zinger Burger. What was it? He was a supercharged Zinger Burger last night, the Latvian gangbanger. Porzingis goes out and has 25 points. He had been sort of, not so much struggling, but it had like a bit of a three-game dip in output. The story here is the Clips. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Pretty brutal. But the Knicks, man, they just keep rattling off these wins, huh? And just sort of hanging out going, oh yeah, we're above 500. And everyone's like, dude, I did not expect that. It's like, oh yeah, what did you expect? The Knicks and the Sixers would probably have the same record. Get the fuck out of here if you ever said that. They're 9-7. Good on you, Knicks. Still hate you. Portland, Memphis. In Memphis. So no Mike Conley, and the fate of the Memphis Grizzlies rested on the broad shoulders of Mario Chalmers and Tyreke Evans, and that went about as well as could be expected as Portland beat Memphis 192. There you go, though. Mario Chalmers and Tyreke Evans. That's like the worst best cop show ever. Reek and Rio. Rio had 21. Reek had 20. Reek and Rio coming to CBS this fall, right after Rizzoli and Isles. This fall. He's Reek. He's Rio. It's Reek and Rio. Anyway, CJ and Dame had 13 of 32 combined. But man, Portland is deeper. Memphis, in games like this, you kind of turn around and go, ooh, yeah, you don't have that much of a chance. Apologies, Memphis. It's tough, man. It's tough. Wiz, Bucks, no deli. No deli. It's just like the end of my street now. No Korean deli. Wiz, 99, beat the Bucks in Milwaukee, 88. The thong song did play on your Thon McCur. Wasn't great. We're going to talk about that a bit later. But Giannis, the former MVP frontrunner, we're going to get into that, had 23, 8, and 4. But the Wiz were just, they're just more of a complete team. The Bucks figuring stuff out while Eric Bledsoe is kind of integrated is kind of fun. And it was kind of cool that they had like their little winning streak. But the trick is they did that against like the Lakers and beat the Grizz. Now they've lost to the fucking Mavericks and now the Wiz. So they do have the Suns coming up though, so they'll probably be fine. Who else played last night? This was a really, really interesting game. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. And New Orleans win 114-107 even after Boogie Cousins got tossed for elbowing Russell Westbrook. My little Rusty, right there in the head. It was a bit of a bullshit tossing too, because, you know, it's very similar to those wristies you get out by the bike shit at Ballarat High. He was just sort of turning his body and, look, put a bit of an elbow into Rusty's noggin. And, you know, this is going to happen on a basketball court sometimes, and it's because it's Boogie. It's like, ah, that was probably malicious. Better get him out of there. Anyway, Anthony Davis then played pretty much every minute of the game. It was something like 44 minutes and had 36 points and 15 rebounds. Jesus! The fucking basketball-playing pterodactyl, Anthony Davis. Rondo's back, looking like, you know, shitty late-in-life Rondo. But the big story of this is OK City. Jeez, they just did not look very good. Rusty had a triple-double with 22, 16 rebounds, 12 points. And remember when we used to care about that? Rusty used to put up triple-doubles. We'd be like, that's fucking amazing. And now he's out there just knocking him in. And we're like, oh, Lonzo Ball's had two. Fuck off. But still, even with Rusty's triple-double and Paul George having 26, Melo having 19, nothing really fucking worked for OKC here. It was weird. They're 7-9, 2-7 on the road. That's fucking brutal. So maybe, just maybe, should we be talking about firing Billy D? Not Billy D Williams, but Billy D Donovan. Hey there, Billy D! I don't know, like, you've got three big dudes. It seems like they work well together, but you're fourth in the Northwest at the moment behind Portland, Minnesota, and Denver, and you're only just ahead of, like, an injury-ravaged Utah. Come on. What the shit is that? And they're playing the Warriors, which is, well, look, later this week, we're going to talk about that because that's tomorrow night. And boy, howdy, is that going to be a Bernstürmer? We're going to get to the best game last, I think. So let's go Hawks Spurs. Ugh, as we mentioned yesterday, this is like, you know, we talked about how the Hawks were Spurs East for about 18 months there. Not so much anymore, and it just puts into stark relief how good of a coach Pop is. And Mike Budenhoser, you, sir, are no Popovich. Spurs win 96-85. Patty Mills starts again. We're going to get into that later. Nugs, Kangs. Nugs win 114 in Sacramento to 98. The Joker had 16-14, and Will the Thrill Barton had 25 crazy points. Good job, Will the Thrill. Got a lot of time for Will Barton. And finally, the biggest game in the night, probably Boston, just because it was the most exciting, because it went to overtime. Boston in Dallas. The Boston Celtics continue their winning streak, 110-102 in overtime. That's 16 fucking straight. Aaron Baines didn't even have to fight Harrison Barnes. And why is that? Because fuck Harrison Barnes. We will talk about Kyrie's performance in just a second, though. But that was the NBA whip around for a second. That was pretty good. And it was a lot. It's a lot of games. It was very fun. It was a great league pass night of low-level, interesting games, kind of cool teams, not really playing, you know, really great opponents, but a lot of stuff going on. And it was all right. So let's move on to the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's a knife. Return winner. That's a knife. Kyrie fucking Irving. Holy shit. 47 points on 22 shots. God damn, Kyrie. That was a performance. Now, I'm not just saying that I want Kyrie to bump up his scoring average like this here and there quite willy-nilly because, you know, Papa might have a little taste on Kyrie for the scoring title. But still, 47 points on 22 shots. These are the sort of games that the Celtics, when you are on a 15-game winning streak, you go, we're going to play Dallas. They're shit. We'll roll straight over the top of them. And for a second there, it looked like they were going to blow it. Dallas are 3-15, don't forget. This was Dirk's only, I think, double-double of the season as well. But the Mavs basically had this game in hand. They were up, I believe, like 5 with in the last minute. And then they just, the Celtics, you can't kill them. They're Jason Voorhees over here. It's fucking nuts. Come back and just put the Mavs in a bit of a headlock, win in overtime, no problems, smoking, 16 straight. And Kyrie, 47 points, 6 assists, 22 shots, man, that's unbelievable. And the best part, though, and that's why this gets a big full. Kyrie is that knife, especially in clutch situations. Check this, you stat nerds. Numbers are for dorks, but Jesus, this is pretty amazing. Kyrie Irving in the final 5 minutes of a game, and with the score within 5 points this season, he's played 38 minutes, and in those 38 minutes, he has scored 65 fucking points, shot 24 of 39 from the field, hit 13 of 16 free throws, drawn 11 fouls, scored 32 fucking points of those 65 in the paint. He's made 10 assists with 0 turnovers and has a plus minus of plus 40. That is fucking clutch, son. That's why, Kyrie, you get the That was a knife. You are a croc-killing Bowie knife, Kyrie Irving. All right, who is old mates, no mates today? It's NBA Australia, old mates, old mate, no mates over here. Who's got no mates? The Dallas Mavericks. Ah, you were shit. This was tough to watch. Nerlens Noel not playing. They got Max Kleber out there instead of Nerlens Noel. And sometimes you're going to go, hey, Rick Carlisle, maybe your idea of like tough love for dudes like Nerlens Noel is just more rooted in, I'm a bit of a prick and I'm not going to let him play through mistakes, even though he does sort of get out of position and sort of fuck stuff up. Anyway, old mate, no mates, Dallas Mavericks. Sorry, Mark Cuban. That's brutal. You got no mates today because you were shit. All right, better than Lonzo Ball. This is your hashtag, better than Lonzo Ball. Daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. And yes, he's tied LeBron for the youngest person in NBA history to rack up their second triple-double. He's out there racking up triple-doubles quicker than my buddy Dan Watt, racking up horse tranquilizer at One Love in 2007. And Lonzo is going to be fine. But our better than Lonzo Ball for last night was Shabazz Napier. The Baz is back in town. Did you even know Shabazz Napier is still in the league? No, you didn't. But you do know that Lonzo Ball's out there balling. And did you know what team Shabazz Napier's even playing for? No, you don't, of course. It's the Blazers. Shabazz Napier is the backup point guard for the Portland Trail Blazers. That's unbelievable. He's putting up random lines like Dan Watt of the Prince of Wales bathroom stalls. He's banged in a random 16, 14, and 3 last night. He's banging in those stat lines like Dan Watt in the Prince of Wales bathroom stalls. He also had a steal and a block. That's Shabazz Napier with a block. The dude is like 5 foot nothing. That's fucking unreal. And since LeBron drafted him in 2014, Baz hasn't looked really good. But he finally got to the Blazers the second half of last year. And then since basically Terrence Stotts started playing him 2 weeks ago, he's put up 16, 11, 19, 11, 12. He's out there smashing. Good on you, Baz. Anyway, today, Shabazz Napier, your hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. All right. That was a good one. Good job. Next up, after the break, it's going to be the award-winning segment, Yeah Nah. Woo! Yeah. Yeah Nah. Y'all ready for this? The award-winning segment, Yeah Nah. NBA Australia's Yeah Nahs, where we have three NBA storylines and we get a Yeah Nah. And we figure out if it's more yeah or more nah. So we had this one yesterday. And we're going to talk about it again because it's only getting more salient. Blow up the Clippers? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, definitely. Fucking hell. Pat Beverley's back, but Jesus, they just look like a bunch of sad boys out there. Like, oh, I'm such a sad boy. Like my little dog. Trade DeAndre Jordan to the Cavs. Get on with it, like... tank, blow it up. I don't know. It's just a mess. We're going to talk about Doc in a second, but blow up the Clippers. That gets a definitely yeah, nah, yeah. Come on. Number two of the yeah, nah today. Will Giannis Antetokounmpo get back into the MVP discussion? Yeah, nah. Nah, not as a front runner. This is tough. Giannis and the Bucks took everybody by surprise for like a little bit there. And everyone's like, oh man, Giannis doing everything. This is awesome. And Giannis has slowly dipped in the scoring leaders. He's now second behind James Harden. And with the arrival of Eric Bledsoe, everyone's going to be like, oh, now he's got a little bit of help. Of course, Giannis is still basically averaging a 30 and 10, which is fucking bananas. And don't mind the old 4.4 assists per game as well. Shooting 55% from the field. Come on. It's pretty fucking good. The tricky thing is, once you have your narrative, it's really hard to re-up it in the MVP stakes. Everybody like, remember Giannis' start to the season? That was really good. What's he doing now? Oh, he's only averaging 30 and 10. Fuck him. Of course they won't be saying fuck him, but they will just be like, eh, what's more fun? The fact that Harden and the Rockets are like out there absolutely fucking smashing and, Harden's leading the league in scoring, and the Rockets have the best record. Harden's the MVP front runner now. And this is a better discussion for him because he now gets to have the idea of like, oh, hey, I let Chris Paul reintegrate himself back into my team after I reasserted that it's my team and led us to the best record in the NBA. And everyone will be like, oh, yeah, James Harden's really good. So apologies, Giannis. You're amazing and you're probably going to win it like next year, but I'm not entirely sure if you're going to get back to MVP favoritism this year. That gets a yeah, nah, nah. And our final yeah, nah is Victor Oladipo for real. Is he out there being the lanky weirdo that we basically wanted him to be in Oklahoma City? He's out there in Indiana, his old stomping ground. He's out there smashing, averaging 23 points a game and like 23-5-4. He had a massive game last night, obviously, with the 29-9-5. So, is it for real? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, this is what we all kind of wanted Victor Oladipo to be coming out of Indiana. And this is what he should have maybe, he just didn't have the freedom to do next to Russell Westbrook. And there you go. This is what happens when you actually just let Victor be Victor. All right. That's a good one. That was a good yeah, nah. There's a lot of fun stuff going on there. Yeah, cool, cool. We had Victor, we had Giannis, we had the Clippers, we blew them up. And that's pretty good. All right, now it is time for the classic, the Australian classic. Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Look at me, fire Doc. That's what Steve Ballmer should be basically saying to Doc Rivers. Look at me, look at me. Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me. You're fired. Sorry, Doc. It's time to go. It's time to go, Doc. I just can't really, really imagine the Clippers pulling this all together and under Doc and going, oh, yeah, no, 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 we're fine. No, it's going to be all right. Don't worry. No, it's all good. So, Doc, you're going to be great in the media, even though you got a weird voice, but it's time for you to go. How about the Chris Anstey skinny dude doing work of the week? It's Tuesday. That's when we talk about Chris Anstey. It's Chris Anstey Tuesday. And our guy is Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank Kaminsky. He's been super up and down. He's like scored 14 points, 7 points, 11 points, 2 points in his last 4 games. He's only shooting 40.6 from the field, 30% from 3. Ugh, gross. And you'd probably still rather those four first-round picks from Boston. But still, he's out there doing work last night with a 24-3-3 with 4 of 5. From three-point land last night against Anstey's old mate Shane Hill's Wolves. He had 24 points in 22 minutes. That means, Chris Anstey, you're our skinny dude. Well, Frank the Tank, you're our Chris Anstey skinny dude doing work of the week guy. Well played. All right, coming up next, we've got the Australian Player Watch, NBA Australia. Woo, jeez. All right, NBA Australia. It's the Australian Player Watch. It was a really good one last night. We had a lot of Australians in action. So we had Ben Simmons, the Lord and Savior, played Utah and looked great. Looked so great, in fact. He hit another career high. He had a career high 12 assists the other night. This time, his career high was 27 points, and he threw those 27 points in with 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. That's making it his 11th double-double of the season. That's pretty amazing. Ben Simmons out there smashing like a grown-ass man. Not just a rookie. Not just a rookie. Give me that rookie of the year, Ben Simmons. And then up next, we had Patty Mills. The Spurs beat the Hawks. Patty started. He had 33 minutes as the starting point guard. He had 8-8-7, however. So, not a giant, but man, Patty, got a... He's filling up those stat sheets, huh? 8-8-7. It's pretty good. Awesome. We also had 2 blocks and 2 steals. You know, Pop's going to love that. How about Jingling Joe Ingles over there? He actually went up against Ben Simmons with Utah taking on the Sixers, but Jingling Joe got beat by our Lord and Savior, Ben Simmons. And Joe, yeah, it was tough, man. 8-1-1. He had a brutal minus 20 for the game. He hit his two threes and two free throws, and that was about it. So, not much he could have done. Those Utah Jazz are decimated by injuries, but still, Jingling Joe, he's not going to get you 40, as he'll admit. But 8-1-1 ain't going to get it done. That minus 20 is a tough one. How about Matthew Dellavedova? The Bucks played the Wiz. Dally, however, has missed another game. So, look, my idea of him just chucking a sickie and going, fuck it, I'm going to stay home and play Star Wars Battlefront 2, it's holding a lot of water. Anyway, it might also be the fact that they've got like three other point guards in front of him. So, hashtag free Dally! How about the thong song? Thong to thong, 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 thong McCur. Oosh, this was a tough one against the Wiz. He went 1 of 2 in 20 minutes, missed his latest three-point attempt. That means he hasn't made a three in his last 6 games. And he's only shot 7 of 20 in that stretch too. Boosh. So Thon had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal though. So, I mean, okay. The cool thing is, Kevin Garnett, no less than the big ticket, believes that Thon McCur is going to be MVP at some stage of his NBA career. That's fucking awesome. Thanks, KG. Aaron Baines, he had not a great game either. It was like 0 points, 4 rebounds in 13 minutes with 4 fouls in 13 minutes. That is a pretty brutal foul rate. And this was against the Mavericks, who were starting Max Kleber instead of Nerlens Noel and have basically a walking corpse in Dirk Nowitzki on the floor at all times. That was crazy, man. Oh, well, Baines, 0 points and 4. And that was pretty much all of the Australians in action last night. Andrew Bogut didn't play. The Lakers played tonight. So we'll see how he goes. How about our daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Yeah, it's a bummer too. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch is always, yo, how Kyrie doing? We already covered that off. He's doing okay to the tune of 47 points and a 16-game winning streak. On ya, Kyrie, your Melbourne-born legend. And what do you reckon? Should we swing by the Kiwi Corner Brew? Just go in there and check out a little bit of how Stephen Adams is doing, Brew. Is he doing okay? Oh, that's pretty good. He's still averaging 12-8. And every time that he plays, they tend to lose. He had 15 last night against the Pelicans, eh, Brew? Shot 7-9. It's pretty good, eh?
So that's pretty tough. Poor Stephen Adams. Poor Stephen Adams. Look, I'm not sure if he's the problem in OKC. He's clearly not. But they do keep losing whenever he plays.
On your brew, that's it for Kiwi Corner.
Anyway, that's all good. Sorry, Stephen. It's Tuesday, though. That means we have the NBA Australia Mango Mathiang checkup. When's Mango? How's he doing? If you don't know Mango, he's the Melbourne-born South Sudanese player who was picked up by the Charlotte Hornets and as part of their G League two-way player system. And last night he was playing the Raptors 905 as part of the Greensboro Swarm in the G League. And so the big fella, he's averaging about 11-8 per game on 45.8% shooting. And last night, had a pretty good game again. He's out there just kind of smashing. They beat the Raptors, and Mango hit 5 of 11. He had 10 points, 10 rebounds. So where in the world was he? He was in Ontario at the Hershey Center. Pretty good. Good on you, Mango. That's how the checkup works. It's pretty good. I don't mind it. All right, Mango, we'll catch you next week on Tuesday when we check in with you again and see how you're doing in the G League. Got a lot of time for you, big fella. Coming up next, it's the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board and our game previews. And then eventually, Jingling Joe Ingles, HR Manager. It's coming up right next on NBA Straya. All right, man, the Patty Mills Inspiration Board. How does it go? Well, it doesn't do much because it's obviously a bit of Patrick Mills going, I haven't tweeted since yesterday, Jimmy, so you might have to chill out there. Game day baller,
game day. So moving right along to our previews, where we're going to whip around each game on the slate tonight, and it's pretty easy. It is Chicago versus the Lakers, and that is all. There's nothing else on. Can you believe it? It's a easy night to sort of just chill and relax. Take a load off, guy. Maybe go, hey, doesn't matter. You can hang out with your loved ones. You don't always have to watch NBA. So Chicago play in LA. It's the 3-11 Chicago Bulls versus the 7-10 Los Angeles Lakers. That's right. It's Andrew Bogut. It's Brook Lopez. It's the NBA on NBA TV, I guess. Oh, geez. But we'll at least see what Lonzo Ball can do against a team that plays no defense. So that'll be fun. All right, that's it. That's our entire episode for this week. Not bad. Well, this just today. It's not this week. Today. Because we're daily. NBA Australia is daily. That's been NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow for some more ridiculousness. Shouts to... Well, no, not shouts. We just want to thank them. This is a no-shout zone. Thank you to From Oslo for our intro and outro track, Faking the Bends. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They are the best band in Australia right now. You can find them, I believe, on Spotify, no problems. And hey, request them on Triple J, would you? Give the old J's a bit of a shout. Even if you're an American listening to this, just go, oi, hey, Triple J, I know you're out there. Play House Hats, would you? In the meantime, chuck us a follow on NBA Twitter, on NBA Australia, and like us on Facebook over at NBA Australia. And hey, make sure you subscribe to NBA Australia here on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a nice rating and review while you're at it. I mean, you don't have to. It'd be kind of nice. Come on. How about your boy Jimmy over here? NBA Australia. Hey, Jimmy, keep doing it. That way you'll get this steaming hot pile of whatever the shit this is each day without having to worry. I mean, I have to worry because I have to make it, but you don't have to. So that's it. NBA Australia for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, and we'll catch you tomorrow. Later! Hi, it's Joe Ingles here, and I'm swinging by to answer any questions you may have as NBA Australia's resident HR expert. See, it's a little known fact that I went to uni, that's college for you Americans out there, and majored in human resources. So I feel eminently qualified to help out with any suggestions or questions you might have about pretty much any topic you can think of. See, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. Okay, let's answer a question for today. All right, this question comes from Matthew in Milwaukee. Hey there. Oh, hey, Matthew. So I have a pressing concern about me job. Okay, so I believe he means my job. See, work brought in another person who pretty much just does the same job as me, eh? I'm not sure why he put the A in there, but moving along. And he's my age, and he looks way better at it than me. Thing is, there was already another fella. Fella means fellow or gentleman. Fella younger than me who'd only been on the job a year who'd pretty much taken my old job anyway. So now I've got two younger fellas doing my job. Oh, that sounds tricky. So I was wondering, what should I do? Should I look for a new job somewhere else or stick with this place which I like? Cheers, you dickhead. Oh, not sure about that send-off, but anyway, the question still bears answering. Thank you, Matthew Milwaukee. See, I'd talk to your boss first and see if there are any compromises or resolutions you can make in regards to your role. The role of management in HR shouldn't be understated. They can be great allies in getting the best out of the workforce and putting you in a position to succeed. But if your current workplace isn't valuing the work that you do or putting you in a position to succeed or reach nominal KPIs,
I think it'd be fair if you were to search out other opportunities on the job market and go somewhere new, where your talents might be more appreciated. Anyway, perhaps you could try somewhere with a nice climate, maybe where people will see you doing a very good job. Perhaps somewhere you used to work and could use your talents again, maybe at a higher rate of pay. Then again, one of my best friends left a very good situation at our current workplace to go somewhere else, and he ended up involved in a gruesome workplace accident, so you never know what you've got till it's gone. Either way, you've got to put yourself in a position to succeed. That's making the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R Q&A session with me, Joe Ingles. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.